Buck, we just put our hands together and just honor Pastor Rick. Thank you so much. Well, guys, my name is Brian Zokowski. It is so good to be with you this morning. Thank you so much, Pastor Rick, for having me come out. It's truly a pleasure and a joy for me to be here and to see this church, too. To be honest, I didn't realize that you guys were so close to me here in River Falls. So, yes, this is a picture of my wife and I and then our daughter, Amelia. We are Chi Alpha missionaries to the University of Wisconsin in River Falls. And I have to be honest with you guys, this picture is actually a little bit outdated by a couple years because we just added the newest addition to our family. Oh, that makes my heart feel so good. Thank you for that. Thank you. We just had our second child, our first son, Cohen Peter Zokowski. He is just over 6 weeks old, so my wife was not able to make it today. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And then that is now my daughter, Amelia. She's 2.5, over 2.5 now. She is just tons of fun. She's a riot. She loves being an older sister. For all of you parents that have had two kids or more, you now understand the situation we're in, the sleeplessness. Pray for us, okay? Pray for us. All right? The struggle is real sometimes. I'll be honest. I was up for like 3 hours in the middle of the night last night because my kids, so... You know, it's a season. That's what everyone tells me. It's temporary. So, but we love it so much. We love our kids. They are truly just a blessing and a joy. Well, instead of just sharing only about River Falls and what we got going on there with Kyle for this morning, what I wanted to do was share a message that God has really just impressed on my heart. It was on me a few years ago, and I hope that I can just share that and intertwine a little bit about our ministry and what we got going on in River Falls. Does that sound good to you guys this morning? Awesome. I got the mic anyway, so I get to decide. So, but thank you for the affirmation. I appreciate that. So I don't know if you're like me, but I know that I am, okay? And one of the things about me is that I am a very, like, task-oriented person just by nature, okay? I like to have something that I'm trying to accomplish, something I'm trying to achieve. But not everyone's the same as me, right? Maybe you've heard the two terms. You're either a task-oriented person or you're more of a, you know, people-oriented person. That's what I was looking for. Okay, maybe you've heard of those two things. I'm a very task-oriented person by nature. It's just how God wired me. It's just how I operate. I don't know if it's a guy thing or not. Apparently, it might be more of a guy thing. But regardless, that's how I am. Now, not everyone is like me, okay? So I went to college at Winona State. Anyone know where Winona is? All right. Yeah. Awesome. That's where I went to college, and I lived with a couple guys named Judd and Levi. Okay, it was my junior year. We all lived together in a house, and one of the things that roommates often do together is they go grocery shopping, especially college guys. We got to eat. We eat a ton of food, right? So when I go grocery shopping, okay, once again, I'm a mission task-oriented person, right? Like, even if I haven't actually written a list down, I've, like, looked through my pantry. I know what foods I gotta get. Like, I've thought through this, right? So I have a mental list, at the very least, if not, like, a list on my phone or something, okay? How many of you guys are like me? You've got, like, a list. You kind of thought it through, right? My goal when I grocery shop is literally to get, like, in and out in 10 minutes. Like, as fast as I can, okay? I'm not there to hang out. I'm not there to play games, like... Okay, when I go grocery shop, right, I'm systematic. Like, I know where everything is. I'm like, all right, we're going to go to the first aisle, grab everything, second aisle. Like, we're going back and forth systematically through the aisles, right? So if that's me, if that's the way I am, and let's say I'm over here on this side of the spectrum, Judd and Levi were, like, as far that way as you can possibly get, all right? These guys, they would go to a grocery store. We would go together. And they hadn't thought through anything whatsoever. They were like, oh, I haven't eaten in a few days. I should probably go get groceries. I was like, yeah, food's a good thing. You should probably eat. And so they would go to the grocery store. It was Walmart. That was our local grocery store in Winona. And they would walk in, and they would just start grabbing stuff without even grabbing a cart. And so, like, they would start to put stuff in their hands, and I'd be like, are you guys just going to carry stuff around, like, the whole time? They're like, oh, we should probably get a cart. I was like, yeah. That helps a little bit, right? So then with stuff in their hands, they would like be walking to the like entrance of the store. Like people thought we were stealing stuff. I swear. It was like, we're just grabbing a cart. It's fine. We're just grabbing a cart. Okay. So then they would get their cart, right? And like I said, I'm systematic. I know where everything is. I have my list. Okay, these guys, they just had no system. They hadn't thought about it at all, right? So they'd be like, oh man, I haven't had eggs in like 3 days. I'm gonna go get some eggs, okay? Well, eggs in the refrigerated section, so we'd walk all the way over there, right? And then they'd be like, oh dude, I'm out of toothpaste. Okay, well, how many of you guys know, right? Toothpaste is a long way from the eggs. Okay, so they would walk all the way to the other side of the store, especially in our Walmart. It was literally the other side of the store, okay? And then after grabbing toothpaste, they'd be like, dude, I'm hungry for a sandwich. I need some bread. I haven't had bread in a while. Okay, all the way back to the other side of the store, right? Because bread and toothpaste aren't near each other. And then, I kid you not, one time Judd was like, I just used up my last bit of deodorant. I should go get deodorant. All the way back to the other side of the store to get deodorant, okay? So this is how this went with these guys. You catch my drift, right? It was just back and forth. I kid you not, something that would take me 10 minutes, 15 tops, to get like $150 worth of groceries. They would take like two and a half hours. Like, I swear, they went to Walmart with me and just drugged me around just to like kill time. I was losing my mind. I was like, you have got to be kidding me right now. And for some reason, I kept going with them. I don't know why, but I did. I was young and foolish at the time, I guess. I don't know exactly what. But the point that I'm making is that they had absolutely no like strategy. They had no mission. They had no clarity, really, in my mind at least, about what they were trying to accomplish grocery shopping, right? Drove me crazy. How many of you guys that would drive you insane? All right, cool. All right, so this half of the room is like me. I understand where all y'all are at. There were no hands over here, so I'll grocery shop with these. You guys are my people. You're my people, all right? We can go grocery shop together anytime. What I have noticed, though, guys, is that I don't see too many people that want to live their lives like Judd and Levi grocery shopped. I don't see too many people that want to just walk around aimlessly, not having a purpose, not having clarity with their life, right? Not having something they're trying to accomplish. We want to have purpose. We want to have clarity about what needs to be done and how we're going to do it. And what I see is that we tend to have purpose and clarity, or missions and goals we're trying to accomplish in most areas of our life. A few examples I thought of. Maybe a mission of yours is to get an education. Right, so if that's your case, what do? I mean, you're in school anywhere from like 14 to 22 years. If you're going to be like a doctor or someone in the medical field, 22 years. I have a couple friends that are doctors. I'm like, man, you could not pay me to go back to school right now, but props to you for like residency and all that stuff. Maybe you want to actually like have money at retirement, right? You want to get a good job. So what do you have to do? You have to get a job. You have to work for like 40-something years, save money to be able to retire. Maybe a mission of yours is that you want to have a family. So what do you have to do? You have to date somebody. You have to court them. You have to get them to like you. You got to put a ring on it. And then, like, you get married, right? Hopefully that's the goal. And then if kids are in the desire, you can have kids, start a family that way. If you want to become physically healthy, it doesn't happen just by sitting on the couch eating potato chips. I know. Life would be so much easier if it just was. Right? We have to put the work in. We have to go to the gym. We have to exercise. We have to meal prep. We have to eat healthy. And so I talk to people all the time, and we have missions, we have goals, we have things we're trying to accomplish in so many areas of our life. But what I have seen and what I think can happen is that when it comes to our faith, we don't always have a mission or a goal that we're trying to accomplish. What I think can happen is that we can come into church, we can give our lives to Jesus, which is amazing. That's what we should do. We say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I want you to come be Lord of my life. But then we can stop there if we're not careful. We can stop there, and we don't really know what to do after that. And so what I want to talk about this morning is the idea of mission. The Bible has a lot to say about mission and purpose. And there's really three questions that I want to take a look at in God's Word to discover this morning. It's three questions. It's, what was Jesus' mission? What was the mission that he gave for those of us who want to choose to follow him? And how can you and I live out this God-given mission? So if you have your Bibles, you can open them. We're going to look in the book of Luke. We're going to look in Luke chapter 19. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. If you don't have your Bibles, your electronic device, I have them on the screen with me. And we're going to read them together. So we're going to take a look at the story of Zacchaeus. How many of you guys know the story of Zacchaeus? You know the children's song? Okay, sing it with me if you know it. Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a... Come on, man. Oh, we're still going. Okay. See, you guys know even more than me. I feel like the bad missionary, right? I only know the first half, so, man, I got to study up on my Zacchaeus song. But you know what? We can thank Kids Church for that, right? That song right there. Okay, I love the story of Zacchaeus in the Bible for many reasons, but honestly, one of the reasons I love it the most is that a wee little man made it in the Bible, okay? I'm only 5'8", so, like, I feel seen, I feel represented with the fact that Zacchaeus is in the Bible. I'm like, all right, let's go. There's a place for the little guy in the Bible, too. Come on, man. All right, so we're going to go ahead and read Luke chapter 19. We're going to read 1 through 2 to start out. So, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. Now, just a quick side note, right? Tax collectors back in this time, they were like the worst of the worst. Everyone despised tax collectors. Oftentimes, they were cheaters. They stole from people. They were dishonest in their line of work. And so for Zacchaeus to be the chief tax collector, that means he was like the scum of the scum. Like, people hated tax collectors. They would have hated Zacchaeus all that much more. Picking up in verse 3. Zacchaeus tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy, but the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to what? Say these two words with me. To and those who are lost. The Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save those who were lost. Everything that Jesus did was to fulfill that mission right there, to seek and to save. If you've ever wondered what Jesus' mission statement was, that's it. Companies don't just have mission statements. Jesus does too, right in the Bible. Came to seek and to save. Now, as cool as that is, which I think is incredible, not only did Jesus give us the mission for his life as he was here on earth, okay? But on top of that, he also gave us a mission for any of those who would choose to follow him, to put his faith, to put their faith in him to be Lord of their life. And he gave clear instruction for his disciples. Now, one thing to note about this that I think is important is Jesus waited basically until his time on earth was over before he gave this instruction. And I don't think that was coincidence. I think that was strategic, and this is just my opinion. This isn't, you know, some, like, theological for sure standpoint. But oftentimes, right, when someone's nearing the end of their life or the end of their time, we give more weight to what they're saying, especially when we know that that time is coming to an end, right? Because they know that their time is limited. So therefore, they're going to say things that truly, truly matter because they know that their words are limited. And so I think it's important for us to note that Jesus waited until he was almost done here on earth, until he would come back to give us this instruction. And this instruction is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Maybe you've heard it before, but it says, this is after Jesus died and was resurrected, and he was talking to his disciples. He said, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You may or may not have known this already, but here is what I want all of us to understand today, is that if you are here this morning and you call yourself a follower of Jesus, you have been given a very specific mission by him, especially when it regards to our faith. That mission isn't to just live a life that's concerned with our own well-being, to build our own wealth, to just come to church on a Sunday morning and check it off and give ourselves a pat on the back so we feel like we've pleased God somehow. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, go and make disciples. Our mission is to go, to share the good news about Jesus, about salvation that can only be found in him, about a love from God the Father that you can't find anywhere else in this entire world. That's the mission that Jesus gave us. Now, to be a disciple, right? He says, go and make disciples. That's not a word that we use often today. You know, go make disciples. What does that mean? Very simply put, a disciple is just someone who models their life, models the way that they live after another person's. That's all a disciple is. And so to go and make disciples, he's saying go and help other people how to live like I have lived, to be in relationship with my Father, and to live like I have lived. And so if you are here this morning and consider yourself a follower of Jesus, I want us to take an honest look at our own hearts and our own lives and ask this question. Is the Great Commission my mission? And before I go any further, what I want you guys to hear is my heart. This isn't a message of, hey, we need to do more, we need to get our act together, we need to, you know, really go and get out there so much more and just go on our own effort. That's not what I'm saying. That's not my heart. I hope you guys don't hear that this morning. My heart is that I think we can sometimes, and I'm speaking to myself, I can lose clarity, I can lose focus on what my ultimate God-given mission is to be in my life, which is to go and to make disciples. And so what I want to do this morning is to give us the clarity to refocus our attention on that, and hopefully we can leave with some practical steps and maybe ideas of how can I do this in my context. Does that make sense? You guys with me? All right. Something, though, I think we need to notice about the Great Commission, though, is the way that Jesus said it. Jesus didn't give the Great Commission as a suggestion, but it was an instruction. Jesus, if you look at these words, right, he's not saying, hey, you disciples, if you woke up on the right side of the bed today, you're feeling super good, you're feeling really close to me, really extra spiritual, then go out and make disciples. But if you didn't, it's cool. You can just put it, you can ignore it. It's fine. Right? Is that what Jesus said? No. It wasn't just a, hey, if you feel like doing this, if it's convenient for you in your life right now, if it works out with your schedule, if it's comfortable, then go and do this. Jesus said, hey, I challenge you guys, go and make disciples. The other thing I think it's important to note here as well is that there's no limit to this audience. Jesus didn't say, hey, you 12 disciples, you guys that walked with me for 3 years, you guys go and tell people. Because if you don't tell people, no one else is going to know. But everyone else is good. Everyone else doesn't need to do anything. You guys go evangelize the world. You guys go tell everyone. He didn't say that, right? There's no limit to this audience. This command from Jesus, this instruction, was for generation after generation after generation. This applies to you and me just like it did to the 12 disciples. To Peter, to James, to John. to the rest of them. I think there's a trap that we can fall into if we're not careful. And that is that we can know all about the Word of God. We can know the things that we're supposed to do as Christians. We can read about the way Jesus lived. But if we're not careful, it's head knowledge. And that's it. We don't actually live it out. There's a scripture in James. To be honest, I love it and I dislike it. It's okay to dislike maybe a verse of scripture because it's convicting. You know, it convicts me. It's James 1:22. James says, "Do not merely listen or hear the word and deceive yourselves, but do what it says." My prayer this morning and my prayer for myself, my prayer for my campus ministry, my prayer for this church, for you guys, is that we would not just be knowers of the word, but that we would be doers of the word. We would live it out. We would do it. And I can't tell you exactly what fulfilling the Great Commission is going to look like in your life. I can't. The way that we go make disciples is different for all of us, but the mission is the same, to go make disciples. And so, for me and my family, one of the ways that this plays out is by starting a Chi Alpha campus ministry at the University of Wisconsin in River Falls. Oh, sorry, I missed a couple slides. Hey, so how many of you guys know what Chi Alpha is? Raise your hand. Let me see some hands if you've heard of Chi Alpha. Okay, cool. So Chi Alpha Campus Ministries, we are not a frat, we're not a sorority, we're not a chai drinking club. People be like, "Chi Alpha, so you drink chai?" I was like, I mean, I suppose we could, but not quite. So Chi Alpha, if you're not familiar with it, it is the Assemblies of God National Ministry to college universities. So we're all across college campuses in the U.S. and even in the world. We're in Europe and other places like that. And so one of the questions that I get is, okay, Brian, why do we need Chi Alphas? Why should I care about Chi Alpha? Why do they need to exist? And to be honest, I could give you a lot of reasons, but I'll spare you the like 99 and I'll just give you four quick ones. I believe that college is the most important and crucial time in someone's life, period. I think the years 18 to 24 are when you first experience freedom from your parents, your grandparents, your guardians, whoever's been watching you for the most part, right? Students move away from family, and for the first time, you have total freedom to make all of your decisions without really anyone else knowing about it. So many of the habits, the attitudes, the mindsets, the beliefs that you form during these pivotal 4 to 6 years will often carry on throughout the rest of your life. Students are learning about who they are, who they want to be. They're learning about what they want to give their lives to. And today's college students are going to be tomorrow's leaders, right? Today's college students are tomorrow's engineers. They're tomorrow's police officers. They're tomorrow's doctors, nurses. They're tomorrow's politicians. They're tomorrow's educators, professors, high school, middle school, elementary teachers. And so if we can introduce students to the gospel at this time when they're forming so much of their identity and what they believe, I believe we can change the world. I really do. I think that we can change the university, then we can change the world. Without a doubt, I believe it with everything in me. A little bit on River Falls and the university there. So how many of you guys, I'm having you raise your hands a lot, I know, but how many of you guys know where River Falls is? Awesome. Okay, see, I am a Minnesota boy, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you guys, all right? I grew up in Minnesota. I'm northern, like, Twin Cities, like, suburbs, all right? So when someone approached me at a Chi Alpha level and said, "Hey, we need someone to start Chi Alpha at River Falls, would you go?" I was like, "River where?" I don't even know where that is. And he's like, "Oh, it's in Wisconsin." I was like, "Oh, all right, well, I mean, I love cheese. The Packers have been my team my whole life. Quick Trip is the best gas station ever, and I could eat at Culver's all day. Like, let's do this. Let's do Wisconsin." All right? But River Falls, yes, it's right on the border of Minnesota and Wisconsin, so we're about a half hour east of the Twin Cities. Y'all already know that. But, yeah, we've loved River Falls. It's been such a great campus for us. The actual university is just under 6,000 students. And a couple interesting facts is it's a really big agricultural school and a big education school. So I didn't anticipate this coming to River Falls, but I mean, I'll be walking through campus and it's the strangest culture mix ever. Like, in one parking spot, there'll be like a giant lifted F-150 truck with like mud flaps next to like a Toyota Prius. I'm like, dude, that is like as polar opposite as you get right there, you know? But yeah, so it's a big ag school. So we have all these big city, Twin City kids that, you know, are Twin City culture, and then a lot of small town, maybe more rural Wisconsin farm kids. So as you can imagine, it's an interesting cultural mix, but we love it. We absolutely love it. It makes for some interesting conversations and some fun times. So our vision, as we bring Chi Alpha to the University of Wisconsin River Falls, simply put, it's to have our students know God and make him known. And the way that we really do this is kind of threefold ways. This is kind of like our heart, is that students would encounter Jesus, they would find community and live purposefully. So I'm just going to walk through these really fast. Encountering Jesus, how do we give students that opportunity? Well, students are searching for what is true, what is authentic, and what is life-giving, I think today, now more than ever. There's so much stuff thrown at them. There's so much like, hey, follow your feelings, just follow whatever you think is true, and we just want to push against that. God's word is true, not your feelings. We want to help students find what is actually going to be true and life-giving and sustain them, and I believe that one encounter with Jesus changes everything. One real authentic encounter with the Holy Spirit changes everything. It takes everything you know in your head and brings it to your heart. This is a picture of a guy named Bennett. Bennett was involved in Chi Alpha, and he grew up like most typical church kids, kind of the, you know, he heard about Jesus. He was in a denomination where he got confirmed at 13 years old, and after that, he stopped going to church. He didn't want anything more to do with it. Aside from Christmas and Easter, those were kind of the two main things that he went to. When Bennett was in college, he was traveling home on a weekend to go visit his family, and he stopped and got coffee. And he ran into this girl that he knew from high school, all right? And this girl that he knew from high school, she was a really big partier. She was really into drinking, would jump around from relationship to relationship. And, I mean, familiar face, so he said, hey, how's it going? And this girl, without even knowing anything about Bennett or his situation, starts to tell him all about her college experience, how she gave her life to Jesus, and how she's like experiencing God's joy, and just all these things, right? Bennett thought it was going to be just a quick, hey, how's it going? You know, good to see you again conversation. Turned into a four-hour conversation at a coffee shop, okay, of this girl witnessing to him, sharing her testimony of how God has transformed her life. And what I love about Bennett's story is at the end of that conversation, this girl didn't lead him to Jesus. She shared her story. She shared about what God had done and how he had transformed her life, and they said their goodbyes. And so Bennett got in his car and kept driving home, and Bennett couldn't shake that conversation. He couldn't wrap his head around this girl, this one, who was doing all these crazy things. Like, she came to know Jesus. There's no way. And he kept thinking about it, and all of a sudden, in his car driving home, the presence of God fell so strongly that he started to weep, and he had to pull over in his car, and he gave his life to Jesus. Right there. Amen. And Bennett goes back. Yeah, I mean, gets his life totally transformed by Jesus in that moment. Everything he knew from when he was 13, everything he knew from you know, going to church when he was young, moved from his head to his heart. He went back to college that Monday, so you know, right after, a couple days later, got involved with the Chi Alpha campus ministry up there that I was involved with. I got to disciple him for a few years. And then Bennett went on staff with Chi Alpha, and he in turn was helping lead other young men and young women to Jesus at that university. One encounter with Jesus changes somebody's life forever. It's all it takes. The next way that we're really trying to bring Jesus to this campus is just by providing students the opportunity to find community. I believe that people want to belong before they believe. They don't really care about what you know until they know about how much you care about them. I love this picture of our students. So this last year, my wife and I moved to River Falls, so last June, like a year ago. And we started a small group on campus. We moved there not knowing any students. Oops, my bad. Not knowing anybody. And this picture is our first small group that we started. So we had approximately 10 to 12 students that came in consistently. And what I love about this picture is that there's students on here. One girl who's a pastor's daughter, grew up in church her whole life, down to other kids who had barely heard the name of Jesus. And we just got to be a place where students get to come in, have a meal together, and we did a Bible study every week where we just got to discuss faith, got to discuss who Jesus is, how much he loves them and cares about him. And this past spring semester, two of these students gave their lives to Jesus. Amen. And not only did they give their lives to Jesus, they're the founding students who are helping us become an actual organized student club so that we can promo our ministry, so we can do events, we can host things on campus for other students to come to know Jesus. We want to be a place where students can come in and have friends that are going to point them to the things of God, friends who are going to see the best in them, believe the best in them, and help them go after all that God has for them. I think if you show me your friends, I can show you your future. I'll show you exactly what direction you're going to go based on the people you surround yourself with. And we just want to be a group of people who love Jesus and help students find life-giving friendships that go even beyond college. And lastly, this is big on my heart, is just to help our students live purposefully. And not just live purposefully during their years in college, but to live purposefully for years, years after. To find, what is my purpose? What's my mission? Why am I here? I think that's a question all of us want to know the answer to. Why am I here? Why do I exist? And this is a picture of a guy named Nico. So Nico, he came through our Chi Alpha ministry. He did an internship after. He was an engineering major. He was really wrestling through if he wanted to do vocational ministry or if he wanted to go into the marketplace, use his degree. So through Chi Alpha, we offer a one-year internship where you get some more kind of ministry training and helps you kind of figure out maybe what direction you want to go. And Nico, at the end of that internship, actually decided that he felt like God was calling him to the marketplace. And I love that. Because honestly, I think we need, like, I don't want my students to all come through my Chi Alpha and say, hey, I'm just going to hang out in this Christian little bubble where it's safe. I want them to say, I've experienced God, and now I need to go bring God where he isn't, because there's so many people in this world that are never going to step foot in a church, and so if they're never going to step foot in a church, we have to go out to them and bring Jesus to them. And so Nico ended up getting a job at a major engineering firm in the Twin Cities, and he felt like God spoke to him that he was being sent there to shake up the marketplace. His words, not mine. And when he got there during his interview with three bosses, he was sharing all about his experience in Chi Alpha, how God has transformed his life. He got the job there, and then he started a small group in his workplace over lunch, a small group Bible study, and had coworkers who were double his age showing up to this Bible study to just talk about faith and God. And now he's doing prayer walks around his building during lunch. And on top of that, he meets with one of his bosses, so not like his immediate boss, his boss's boss, every week, and they talk about faith. I mean, that's amazing, guys. That's amazing. That is my heart for this ministry that we're starting. Not that students would come and just know Jesus and live for him in college, but that they would take it after into their marketplaces, into their places where I could never reach, where Pastor Rick could never reach, because we're not going to walk into an engineering firm. And so that's what Nico gets to do. I love it. His heart's in it. That's my heart for my students. And quickly, just a little bit about our strategy. How do we make these things come, you know, into existence? It's through discipleship. It's through meeting with students one-on-one every week. It's through small groups, where we meet once a week with our small groups, talk about the Bible, read it, open it. Outreach events on campus. That's where we host, you know, could be big fun game nights, invite students into our church where they can come hang out. Basically just trying to be on campus as much as we can to just bring the exposure of Jesus to this campus. And then weekly services. We haven't started this yet because in Chi Alpha world we're called pioneering, so it's same as church planning. So we started this ministry from nothing. It had been 22 years since Chi Alpha existed in River Falls before my wife and I moved here. And so eventually we'll have a large group, which is basically like this, where there'll be corporate worship, someone will give a message, we'll have altar time after, and the opportunity for students to come together as a large group and lift up the name of Jesus. So here's what I'm not saying this morning. I'm not saying you have to be like my wife and I and go start a campus ministry to fulfill the Great Commission. But what I want us to start to do is to think about, what can I do? What can I do to fulfill the Great Commission? I think there's a temptation that we can face that fulfilling the Great Commission or going out and sharing about Jesus is just the job of pastors, of missionaries, of those extra spiritual people. But that's a mindset that's going to keep you captive to your own fear, and it's going to keep other people from experiencing the love that God has for them. I tell you what, if you want to go on an adventure, start just saying yes to Jesus. I heard a missionary once say this in a service. He says, "God's not boring, you are." And I was like, "Whoo! Ouch!" But the more I thought about it, I was like, that's true. Honestly, God calls me to do things out of my comfort zone all the time. And more times than I would like to admit, I've told God no. But every time I've said yes and stepped out in faith and stepped out of my comfort zone and did something that was maybe I didn't think I would do, no matter how big or small it is, I've seen God's faithfulness. I've seen God's goodness. I've seen God move through simple acts of just saying, "Yes, God." And even when it doesn't turn out the way I wanted to, my faith was just grown. I just learned to trust God more. Fulfilling the Great Commission isn't about having this whole Jesus thing figured out. It's not. If you're waiting for that to happen, if you're waiting to figure all this out, you're going to be waiting forever. I'll just let you in a little secret. None of us have this thing fully figured out. God has placed you in workspaces, in your family, in your spheres of influence, so that you can go and bring Jesus to those people, so that you can go be a light in a dark place. And I just want to challenge us this morning to switch our thinking and our mindset from "I can't do that" or "I won't do that" to "What can I do? What can I do?" What might be a step that you can take towards fulfilling the Great Commission? It's just a few things I thought of. And they're simple. You know, you could start a conversation with your neighbors. Next time you see neighbor Bob, instead of saying, "Hey, Bob," and walking inside your garage, saying, "Hey, Bob, how's it going? How's your weekend? How's your wife? How's your family? How's your kids? How's your job?" Asking open-ended questions, actually starting that conversation. Maybe a step for you could look like inviting your neighbors over for a meal or a bonfire. I know it's like 90 degrees, so bonfires maybe aren't the most exciting thing right now, but fall is coming. There is hope, okay? But inviting your neighbors over. Or I think I saw in the church bulletin, I think there's a picnic tomorrow. Is that correct? Maybe it's inviting your neighbors over to a church picnic. Maybe it's at your workplace, inviting a coworker to lunch. Could be once a month, every other week, could be every week. There's things you can do. One thing you can do is you can bless people by seeing a need and meeting it. One thing I've found is that sometimes we have to meet physical needs of people. We need to actually bless them before they're really willing to listen to us. It's a simple way. And the last thing I just want to say is, simply just do what you can with what you know. You don't have to have this whole thing figured out. No one's asking us to. I don't have it all figured out. But we can do what we can with what we have and what we know. That's my challenge. And honestly, the last thing, the easiest way to fulfill the Great Commission is just to invite people into your life. Invite people into your home. Let them see your life isn't perfect. My house is messy too. Come on in. You know, we can just let people see that as Jesus followers, we're not perfect, but we have a Savior who is perfect, who has grace. And that just inviting people into your life. A verse that God really convicted me with, and I'll end with this, was John 20:21, where Jesus, after he was resurrected, came to his disciples and said, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." We don't if you're a follower of Jesus, we don't just nonchalantly go places. We are sent places. That's a mindset switch I had to have. I don't just go to the grocery store. I am sent there. And I ask God to give me his eyes and his heart for the people around me to see someone who might be broken, to see someone who might be hurting. That, you know, it doesn't mean I'm going to do something major in their life. Maybe I'm just going to give them a smile. Maybe I will pray with them if that opportunity presents itself. But we are sent places. So as I end this morning, here's what I want us to think about. What could happen if instead of seeing the Great Commission as a suggestion, you saw it as your own personal mission? How could that change your family? How could that change your workplace? How could that change this church, this town? What would happen? I mean, just imagine with me, what would happen if every single one of us took that on as our personal mission every day? Man, that's something I would love to see. So as I wrap, here's the question I just want us to think about. Is the Great Commission our mission? And if not, I just want to encourage us, I just want to challenge us to ask the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray in a minute that the Holy Spirit would shift our perspective, that would happen. That would be something we take on for ourselves. But before I do that, I think before we can go fulfill Jesus' mission, we have to accept Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. We have to know his goodness. And I tell you, there is nothing like the love of God. It's amazing. It'll change your life. And God sent his son Jesus. He didn't have to. He chose to. Because he loves us. Because he wanted to be in relationship with us. To take the punishment for our sin, for our rebellion against him. So that we could have a restored relationship with him. And so if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, you don't consider yourself that, I just want to give you that opportunity this morning. It's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Doesn't mean that life is going to be daisies and rainbows the rest of your life, but you have the hope of Jesus, that he's walking with you, and that one day he's going to come make everything right, and we get to be with him in eternity. And so with every head bowed, I just want to give just privacy. If anyone is here this morning, if you could bow your heads, close your eyes. If you have never made that decision to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, I believe today is your day. I don't think anyone is here by accident. God knew you were going to be here. He knew that I was going to speak. And he's saying, today is your day. He's calling your name. And it's your choice. And so, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But if you're here this morning and you'd say, Brian, I know that I do not have a relationship with Jesus and I want one, would you just lift your hand in this place this morning? Hallelujah. Okay, you can keep your heads bowed. I'm just going to pray to close us out. Lord God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for this space, God, that we just get to come together to praise you, to worship you, God, to just experience your presence and your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you so much for sending your son Jesus, Lord, so that we could have a restored relationship with you, so that we could know you and know the love that you have for us. God, I pray that you would help us to not keep that to ourselves, Lord, but that we would see and take the Great Commission, God, not as a suggestion, but as an instruction, Lord, that we would take that on as our own personal faith mission, God, that it would drive our lives, it would drive our actions, God, that it would motivate us, Lord, to just live like you, God, not out of our own effort, but Holy Spirit, that you would help us do it, Lord, that it would be an overflow of our own relationship with you. God, I pray that you would give everyone here opportunities to share about you with their family, with their friends, with coworkers. Lord, that when opportunities come up and that heart starts to race and we're feeling afraid or whatever, that you would give boldness, Lord, to just step outside of our comfort zone, God, to take a chance, Lord, and see what you can do just through simple yeses, through simple acts of faith and obedience, God. Lord, I thank you so much for just, who you are, and that we just get to do this life with you. We love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, guys, thank you so much for having me. I wanted to say, too, before I leave, yes, my wife and I, we're starting this campus ministry at River Falls. One of the things we're doing is we're itinerating right now. We're trying to raise the rest of our monthly ministry budget. As missionaries, we get supported from friends, from family, from individuals, churches who have a heart for college students, who believe that college students need to come to know Jesus. And so we're 24% from being fully funded. If you're at all interested in hearing more about our ministry, you can come see me back at my table. I also have prayer cards, if I can grab it. We have prayer cards here that you can just take and just be praying for us. There's my email, there's my contact on there. If you know of any students, high school or college, that are going to a UW school and you think they might be interested in Chi Alpha, please come give me their phone number. I'll connect with them, or I'll connect them to other Chi Alpha directors and other universities. We're not too pushy, don't worry. We're not going to, bombard them. And then even if you're not interested in support or newsletter or whatever, just come say hi. I just would love to meet you and just to chat with you quick before you leave. So I'll be at the table back. Thank you so much, Pastor Rick.
All right. Thanks, Brian, for sharing the word of God in your heart with us today. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. We'll receive a love offering for Brian and his family. And you know what it was like to be a poor college student? Well, I can tell you Chi Alpha ministers are not much better than that. The activities they do comes out of their own budgets and their personal funds. So as we ask the blessing upon this offering, I also would like to pray for Laura Severson. She's not doing well. She's having chemo treatment and not responding well. And so let's just lift her up today as well. Lord, we thank you for the ministry that has been presented here today. We thank you for Brian and his willingness to receive the call and just be involved in people's lives in River Falls and the surrounding area, and from people who come there from other places. I pray that you would ignite revival fires upon that campus, Lord, as you have on other campuses across our country. I pray, Lord, that you would just take care of them, meet every need that they have. And thank you for the opportunity to be able to partner with them in the ministry there. And Father, we pray for Laura today, and you know exactly what's going on. Lord, we pray that you would step in, that you would intervene, that you would bring healing to her, Lord, and that she would just begin to feel good again. Oh, Lord, give her strength, I pray. Lord, your strength, supernatural strength. Lord, and that you would give her the strength that she needs as she fights this physical battle. And Lord, be with her family today and help them to be an encouragement and a blessing to her, as I know that they are. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to send the guys out to get the offering, and then we do have some announcements. And if you can stay for them, they're great. If you can't, understand that. And I have some announcements, actually, that are not in the bulletin, and some have asked to share their part. So first of all,